You're listening to American Songcatcher, tracing the roots of American music from its cultured past to today's artists playing it forward. I'm folk musician Nicholas Edward Williams. Today, we proudly present the sixth installment of the Local Focal series, where we're collaborating with artists around the country to share unique and lesser-known musical history. Our narrator today is Joe Maccavecchi, who brings to the surface a near-century-old lineage, the story of New Jersey's first family of folk music, the Ridgeways, who settled in a territory deep in South Jersey, known as the Pine Barrens, and whose music faded into obscurity for several decades. Here's Joe.
Things were mighty tough down in the Pines, 1929. Set in a city for a bowl of soup, city folk waiting in line.
What sound remains when the folks who play the old songs pass away and raise their instruments no longer? When styles change, highways bring the development of larger neighborhoods, and a sense of what once was is no more. Who sings the songs that bear witness to what it was like before, so that we can make sense of what there is now? Sometimes, all it takes is one person, like a gardener, to plant an idea and protect it while it germinates. Sometimes it just takes one concert, or one recording.
That never changed and never will. Pine Barren Land.
Somewhere beyond the streets of New York City, south of the suburban sprawl that stretches between Philadelphia and Newark, New Jersey, not very far from anything, but seemingly a world away, one of the largest uninterrupted tracts of forested land in America lies and looms. And of all places, New Jersey.
I love the Garden State. I'm from New Jersey and I brag about it. I think it's simply great.
The New Jersey Pine Barrens, made famous by an episode of The Sopranos as much as lore about the Jersey Devil, is both one of the most forgotten and intriguing regions of northeastern America. It spans over 1 million acres and is known for its treacherous sugar sand roads, endlessly looping confusing trails, and short gnarly pines that stand in tight crowds amongst the blood-red cedar streams and dead-end rivulets that appear and disappear like secret wellsprings.
Oh, riding alone in his old work boat in the good old summertime, it's a beautiful day on a barnacle bay.
I grew up in the northern reaches of the pines, where it was more suburban. And as a child, I spent countless hours alone, walking to the edge of my backyard and then finding trails that wound away from the neighborhoods and into the expanses that felt like an infinite forest, even if I was only a few miles between two main roads. As a teenager, my friends and I would go out into the woods, have bonfires, drink warm snuck beers, and play guitars in the woods at night, singing our favorite songs from contemporary and throwback artists. Eventually, someone would play a folk or country song, something borrowed from the legacy of Texan or Appalachian traditions that always left me wondering. New England had its songs. California did too. Could New Jersey really be a folkless location, a hole on the map where there was no tradition except mimicking the best from further west?
When formed our band, we are well manned to journey afar to the promised land. The golden ore is rich in store on the banks of the Sacramento shore.
As luck would have it, years later I found myself busking in a folk band in Washington Square, New York City, like many others who came before me. It was no secret that if you hailed from a respected musical location, be it Asheville or New Orleans, you had a better chance at getting attention. Folk singers from New Jersey don't get much respect unless your name rhymes with Loose String Bean.
On a rattlesnake speedway in the Utah desert, I pick up my money, head back in town.
But we would tell people where we were from and often got looked at sideways. Folk music from New Jersey? Might as well say champagne from Alaska. But New Jersey surely had its own music, right? Inhabited by Lenape Native Americans for many thousands of years, and one of the first places colonists brought their music after branching out from Massachusetts and Virginia, the problem was, not many were singing the old songs. Where were they, and how do they sound? Apart from a 1939 academic publication, there really isn't anything online or in libraries about New Jersey's tradition of folk singing and performance. And And so my folk band went on, recording our own songs, lovingly playing traditionals from the Appalachians and Texas and New England. Whenever someone would ask what New Jersey folk music sounded like, we'd say like this, and then sometimes admit we didn't really know, but we read it had a unique rhythm in the fiddle music. But we couldn't properly back that up. And on it went for about 10 years. Until one day.
The best show on WFMU is back for another Tuesday night installment.
Freeform listener-sponsored radio, WFMU.
My friend Alan is a DJ on WFMU, one of the longest continually operating freeform radio stations in America. They broadcast from Jersey City on the Hudson River. In his scouring of basement library vinyl stacks and internet archives, he happened upon a Reverb Nation page for Merce Ridgway and the Pine Hawkers. Reverb Nation is a rarely used online music community from about 20 years ago that not many people used even then. Since Alan thinks of us as his South Jersey Pineland friends, he shot me the link with a text to the effect of, "Maybe you'll like this." I scanned through the 25 titles and clicked on Depression Song.
Things was mighty tough down in the pines, 1929. We set in the city for a bowl of soup. City folks were standing in line.
What I heard astounded me. From Merce's first guitar intro to his round, full baritone's first note, I was hearing something for the first time, but it felt like the 100th. Immediately, the lyrics located itself where else but down in the pines in 1929. Jackpot. And there it was, Pine Barrens folk music from New Jersey, and it was recorded by Merce. That name sounded so familiar, but I couldn't place it yet. All these songs, about the Depression, about clamming, songs about prisoners and jail, songs about love and death, a proper folk lyric compendium.
Somewhere, somebody's waiting for you.
Some of these songs are just Merce and a guitar with occasional background vocals from his wife Arlene. Others include fiddle, mandolin, and occasionally tuba in the place of a bass. This beautifully raw, undeniably real record just fell out of the sky and into my lap, and I was hooked. I started searching Google, downloading anything I could from online databases, visiting my favorite bookstores with New Jersey history shelves, and began to learn all I could about South Jersey's own first family of folk.
Someday. Somebody who loves you.
It all begins with Merce's father, Merce Ridgway Sr. Merce Sr. was born in Barnegat, New Jersey, between the sprawling pinelands and the bay. Ancestors from his mother's side served at the Barnegat Life Saving Station in the 1800s, saving the lives of shipwrecked sailors off the tricky sandbarred Jersey coast. Merce's mother sang the old songs, and one fateful day, he bought a Bradley Kincaid guitar from a Sears and Roebuck catalog. It came with Bradley Kincaid's songbook, and Merce was off to the races.
I am getting old and feeble now. I cannot work no more, and I've laid the rusty bladed hoe to rest. Old Massey and old Mrs. Dead, they're sleeping side by side, and their spirits now are roaming with the blessed.
Kincaid was a popular country and folk singer of the radio age, singing on WSL's Barn Dance from 1926 to 1929. And since these guitars were only sold between 29 and 31, we know Merce got his first guitar around the age of 15. Eventually, he started playing with his brother-in-law, Walt Britton, and Walt's cousin, Bill. Guys he knew from burning charcoal in the fall, one of the typical seasonal jobs folks who sustained themselves in the Pine Barrens worked in order to make a little money and keep themselves warm throughout the winter. In the standard folk practice, Merce, Walt, and Bill played their music to entertain themselves and their direct relations. No big shows, not going out into public to play.
Johnny O, Johnny O, the spring winds are blowing.
In 1941, folklorist and opera singer Dorothy Dix Lawrence was traveling through South Jersey looking for folk musicians to represent the often overlooked area. After inquiring at the Forked River Post Office, she was directed to find the Bamber Boys, as they were locally called. She asked them if they would be willing to perform with her as their sponsor. And after agreeing, the Pine Hawkers debuted at the 1941 National Folk Festival in Washington, D.C.
Although I
was a young man, I remember well how the old folks used to gather and the stories they would tell.
Known mainly for writing the Pine Barrens song, Merce Sr. also wrote a handful of other songs, including Julie Jane, Depression Song, Red Cedar, and others, which appear on the tape recorded by his son Merce Jr. that I found on Reverb Nation. Unfortunately, no recordings of Merce Sr. are known to exist. That same year of 1941, Merce Jr. was born in Bamber.
Now when I was young, I took a hike to the hills of Tennessee. Me and this old pal of mine who had a sister that he wanted me to meet.
His family moved to a house near Route 9, the same Highway 9 running through Bruce Springsteen's songs. Merce grew up around men who worked the Barnegat Bay for a living, as well as folks who worked the Pine Barrens' seasonal cycle of cranberries, blueberries, flowers, charcoal, and more. In 1959, when he was 18, Merce joined the Marines. It was there he learned his finger-picking style from an Alabaman man named Gary Hager, who taught him songs such as Wildwood Flower and The Sheik of Araby. After 4 years, he got out of the service and returned to the Bay to work the trade his father and his father's friends worked his whole childhood. During those years, however, Merce never let go of his music. In the mid-1960s, his musical comrade and friend Phil Grant told him about a hunting cabin in the Waretown Pines where folks gathered on Saturday nights and played old-time and Pine Barrens music with fiddles, banjos, and washtub bass. It turned out Phil's father had been talking to George and Joe Albert, the owners of a hunting lodge, and they were welcome to join anytime they liked. I wonder if anyone was aware in that moment that Merce's chance meeting would lead to the preservation of the musical culture of the Pine Barrens.
Get away.
American Songcatcher is growing, and we need your help financially to make Season 3 all that it can be. I know this podcast is free and you're likely hesitant to give money, but think about it. You go out a few times a week, maybe, to pay $5 for a beer or a coffee, or $10 at minimum for a meal, sometimes one that you don't even enjoy. Here at American Songcatcher, we feed you stories and fill your cup with a host of insightful facts and music history. If that's agreeable, make the choice and give today, with either a one-time donation or visit our Patreon to pledge monthly. That's www.patreon.com/AmericanSongcatcher, or you can find the link in the show notes. Now, back to the story.
The location was a tract of thickly wooded pines in Waretown, New Jersey, known as the Home Place, and it was where friends of the Albert brothers gathered to share homemade string music, mostly without lyrics. This is a quote from Merce Jr.'s book, The Bayman. Along with these folks, about a dozen others who were there to hear the music made up the rest of the gang, as Joe called them. Around 10 o'clock, we stopped the music for cake and coffee in the kitchen. We soon got back to playing music and did not stop till around 2 in the morning. From this point on, I knew where I wanted to be on Saturday nights, end quote. And like that, the son of one of South Jersey's only documented folk singer-songwriters waltzed right into the heart of Pine Barrens folk music and immediately recognized it for what it was. Loose, impromptu.
Okay, who's starting out?
I sort of know it.
Who's starting out on this?
I saw that happen.
What? No,
Play sessions have been described by Pete Curry as 20 tunes without stopping for air. Reels or jigs would go on without progressing for long periods of time. As the late 60s gave way to the 70s, word got out and Saturday nights became unmanageable for Joe Albert, who was getting up there in years. Soon, respectful nights of coffee and song devolved into a place where roving groups of teenagers got drunk, and left broken glass for Joe to clean up in the morning. The secret was out and it wasn't helping anymore. Joe wanted to put a stop to Saturday night altogether. Merce began dreaming up a way of presenting Pine Barrens folk music to the general public.
Like the shores of the ocean were so far apart, and I know I'm to blame for pain in your heart.
After George Albert's funeral in 1973, the memories of good times at the home place rang like a distant bell in the minds of Merce and many other local folk musicians who had spent so much time in their warm company. On Friday, November 29th, 1974, Sounds of the Jersey Pines had its first concert at the Weartown Auction Ring. Even that first night, the object of the concert was to eventually build a proper music hall in town. Merce reported that 33 musicians played that night, and from that week on, South Jersey had its own folk and old-time music review.
Solidarity forever, solidarity forever.
In 1975, they organized into an official nonprofit called the Pinelands Cultural Society, and Merce was elected the first president. And that year, 190 musicians performed to raise money, including Pete Seeger. According to Merce, quote, "A huge throng gathered to hear and see Pete. The hall was filled to capacity and beyond. Pete did a wonderful show. I never before or after heard the audience sing as they did for Pete Seeger that night. We didn't get to talk much, and I don't know what he thought of us as a group. I hope he remembers Albert Hall and returns to play again someday," end quote. And Pete did return, so he must have liked it. He played another benefit for the Albert Hall Building Fund in 1980. Finally, after years of concerts, changing locations, and the unfortunate burning of the Weartown Auction Ring and vandalization of the home place, Albert Music Hall officially opened its own building in Weartown in 1997 and presented Sounds of the Jersey Pines 23 years after the first concert in that name. Today, Albert Music Hall continues to have folk, country, and bluegrass music played by local and traveling musicians every Saturday of the year, except for the one nearest to Christmas. The walls are lined with photos and instruments belonging to the Alberts and their friends, items salvaged from the home place, as well as other knickknacks, remembrances, and now hats, shirts, and books that help keep the culture alive and raise money. There would be no Pinelands Cultural Society, no Albert Music Hall, without Merce Jr.'s genius for action and willingness to struggle for preservation.
No money to spend, holes in their shoes. I never heard nobody singing.
Depression Blues tells the story of how during the Great Depression, folks of the Pines didn't really struggle as badly as others who were used to working more modern jobs and waiting on paychecks that came less and less frequently. He writes, "We had good times with the bad times, and a lot of making do with what we had times. No money to spend, holes in our shoes, but I never heard nobody singing the blues." The verses tell of surviving off the land, hunting for deer meat stew with just a potato and a big yellow onion in a sack. Another verse tells of fishing in the spring for sustenance. Merce croons, "Folks don't know how we survived, and I guess they never will." Merce Jr.'s songs also have a specific time and place. The Clam Digger Blues is a first-hand account of the life he chose to live, riding in a Garvey across the Barnegat Bay hauling clams in the wind and the rain. One verse proclaims, "And if you could visit his kitchen after the day is through, chances are he's a musician and he'll play a tune for you. Sure got it fine, he does it all the time."
I left the place where I was born. And work was scarce. I had no choice but go.
The centerpiece of this tape and the Ridgeway song catalog is the Pine Barrens song written by Merce Sr. His son sings it with reverence and grace, the lyrics framing a place that is forever lost in time and yet unforgettable, even as the world developed around and eventually through it. But much like other lyrics of his, the plants and people of the past remain in the memory and live on in the telling, in the singing of the song.
When you go to Mount Holly, it's there you will sit, and it's rum and tobacco you won't get a bit. There's lice, lice as big as young quail, and you're bound to get lousy in Mount Holly jail.
And one of the reasons why me and my friends sing them around the fire, or at Albert Music Hall, or in Philadelphia, or Maine, is because although they aren't from the typically heralded promised lands of American folk music, the music and lyrics of the Ridgeways or the Albert Brothers are as authentic as Roscoe Holcomb or Elizabeth Cotton because of its genesis. The need for folks to make their own entertainment with the tools at hand for the people around them. Whether it be between shifts in a coal mine, raising other folks' children, or after Garvey rides on the Barnegat Bay, riding the sugar sand roads to someone's hunting shack in the pines of New Jersey to share in the old melodies and tunes. This music, these songs, they live when they're played, not rolled up in a map that doesn't get used or seen. These lyrics only breathe the air of life when someone has their own wind to put into it. And so my group, Jackson Pines, has been learning these songs a few at a time and have been playing them all over in our travels this year. To play the songs of the Pine Barrens and bring them to life in our own way. And although we don't have an established home place like the Alberts, we invite musicians we know and friends around the fire at the Bog House in Jackson, New Jersey, sharing American, Irish, and Pine Barrens folk tunes early into the morning. And when we recently were filmed playing the songs for a PBS special, we looked out over a full Albert Music Hall, and when we mentioned Merce Ridgeway and his music, folks whistled and clapped. Others pointed at the walls where photos of his second generation Pinehawkers played only two decades ago, and it felt like a full circle closing, and not for the first time. I'm honored to share in this tradition, another link in the long chain of song. So yeah, Jersey does have its own folk music, and it sounds like this.
People say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16.
And that's all for the sixth and final episode of the Local Focal Off-Season Series. A huge thanks to Joe for educating us on this piece of folk music history. You can find links to all of Joe's work with his band, Jackson Pines, in the show notes of this episode. Also, a quick note that before Season 3 releases on December 15th, we'll have one more bonus episode next month. Thank you to the community on Patreon. This would not be possible without you. If you'd like to be a direct supporter of the show for as little as a few bucks a month, click the link in the show notes. Our intro song is Payday by Mississippi John Hurt from the Today album. Our outro song is 16 Tons, performed by Tennessee Ernie Ford, originally written by Merle Travis. This episode was narrated by Joe McAvecchi, with editing, recording, and distribution by myself, Nicholas Edward Williams. Here's to the songs of old. May they live on forever. See you next time on American Songcatcher.
Trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't know a high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.